Surely everyone, no matter how busily engaged, will spare a few minutes each day to become acquainted with the main facts about some beautiful or interesting thing. Have a large reading room and conservatories where the winter months could not interrupt the studies. A vast store of useful knowledge could be so gained almost imperceptibly. 84. Encourage, in yourselves and your children, the love of nature, which teaches observation and progress. Vast quantities of flowers could be cut and sent to the hospitals and other public institutions each day, thus brightening the lives of unfortunates. I would not forget the prisons, as it has been my observation that flowers will touch the heart, when all else fails. A bunch of old-fashioned pinks, or peonies, may bring a glimpse of mother's garden to one who has strayed from the narrower path, and open up the way to purer thoughts. 85. If you have but one square foot of earth, don't have it bare, but plant a seed there. If it is not of interest to you, it will be of interest to another, and it is your duty to live for all, as well as for self. The spirit Professor Denton next stood in view of the circle and made a short address, the substance of which follows, to wit, I am glad to be present, here, with you, this evening. I see no strangers present. Just as well, it is just as well. 86. Friends, in my travels, I have been able to visit several spheres, and I find the inhabitants of higher spheres much more progressed than those of the lower spheres. Those of the higher spheres seldom return to the first or earth spheres, for they would not be known, and they can convey their messages to earth people and lower spheres, otherwise. 87. I find no loungers, as you would term them, no loafers seeking whom they might devour, but such as I do meet are ever busily engaged laboring for the good of all, and when retrospective, they are drawn toward the cradle of their personality, their mother earth, and try to give good ideas and thoughts to your world, and I hope, you will enjoy yourselves, as we endeavor to transmit some of their ideas through you to your world, for we are endeavoring to enlighten the heathen as well as to elevate all seekers after truth and knowledge. Second typewritten message by Buchanan. 88. A personage having the appearance of a man was seen by the circle to be standing at the typewriter, looking it over. Then the apparition took a sheet of paper from the writing desk and very adroitly placed the paper in the typewriter, manipulated the machine very rapidly, as a good typewriter would, for a few seconds, took the paper from the machine, asked the guides in the cabinet what they thought of the writing. Dr. Reed said, "That is very good." Then the apparition that wrote, walked over to the secretary, handed to him the paper upon which he had written, as above stated, saying to the secretary, in audible voice, "My name is Buchanan," then moved, backwardly, to the cabinet and there vanished. The following is a correct copy of what the apparition had placed upon the paper, by means of the typewriter, to wit, 89. There is no phase of life that spiritualism does not reach, and it elevates and ennobles all that it touches. Its facts and phenomena demonstrate that life is continuous, that the soul is immortal, but this revelation, glorious as it is not the ultimate of spirit communication, it is only one of its incidents. 90. Here are 55 words and 7 punctuation marks. So much improvement over the first message that the circle are led to expect more than a realization of all the spirits promised, when they asked us to provide for their use, a typewriter. We read in our village newspaper an editorial concerning our work here, in which is the statement, to wit, of course the typewriter is inside the cabinet, but we, who are here and know, say emphatically, "No, sir, Mr. Editor, the typewriting machine is not inside the cabinet when being used, or at any other time, for that matter, but during the séance, when being used by any personage for writing, the typewriter is outside the cabinet on a table so elevated as to be just of proper height for an adult person of common height to stand while operating the machine, and the table, machine, and the personage operating the machine are all outside the cabinet, between the circle and the cabinet, and are also in sight of all the circle, while the writing is being done, and the operator of the machine is not one of the circle in the mortal, nor any mortal confederate personating or posing as a spirit form, as all the circle may know as certainly as they know any fact." wireless telegraphy and some prophecy. 91. We have a telegraph apparatus consisting of a common keyboard with keys and a sounder. The keyboard and keys are securely locked inside a box and placed on a table, and the sounder is placed either on the same table or another table, and in either case, the keyboard and sounder are placed considerable distance apart. Thus arranged, a spirit form or apparition comes out of the cabinet, takes position at the sounder or receiver, and stands there with folded arms, in sight of the circle, and soon the keys of the keyboard are heard by the circle to be making sounds as a common telegraph keyboard when in use, and the sounder responds to the sounds of the keys. But no wire connects sounder to keys or keyboard, neither is any galvanic, magnetic or electric battery used, or connected to either keys or sounder. Meanwhile, the apparition at the sounder interprets the soundings. In this case, at this seance, the keys and sounder ran a moment, and the apparition, interpreting, says, in good oral speech, they say that your world will experience many convulsions and great catastrophes within the next 5 years. Then away goes the keyboard and sounder a moment, and the spirit says, they say that some of these convulsions will be more destructive than the world has ever witnessed. Then tick, 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 and the interpreter says, they say that one of these great convulsions will be at Australia. Then again, and the spirit says, they say that within the next 2 years a great calamity will befall Kansas. They say that a great drought will occur. They say that there will be but little rain in Kansas the remainder of this year. A. The guides told us the name of this apparition was Dick Bowden, and when in the mortal, he resided in Kentucky and was a telegraph operator. At a promiscuous seance, July 1, 1902, Professor Denton, in fairly good oral tones, and part of the time, in fair oratorical style, spoke of that imaginary something called by some theorists 92. The subconscious self and incidentally, of the theories called Christian Science and Mental Science, saying, substantially, as follows, to wit, a great deal has been said, of late, of a something by some supposed to be subconscious mind. So far as we are able to discern, that theory has no foundation in fact. It has not been proven or demonstrated, and does not seem to be susceptible of proof. It is only theory, not acceptable until proven to have some foundation in fact. And he who most strenuously sets up and advocates this theory, does not appear to have any knowledge of any facts, only supposed facts, in support of the main theory. Whereas, spiritualism is a proven fact, demonstrated by the evidence of cumulative fact upon fact, mountain high, but subconscious mind or subconscious self, so far as I can learn, is not known in the spirit world to have existence in fact. Then Christian Science, so called, has no foundation in fact, except in so far as it teaches of magnetic, electric and psychic healing. Its theology is almost wholly erroneous. Mental science is more of accord with fact than Christian Science. The principal difference between Christian and mental science is concerning the God idea. The latter holding that mind is all universal and supreme, but the former largely embracing common theology, only in a more mystified manner. They tell you there is no disease, you only think so, and that all you have to do to be well, is to think you are well, to have faith that there is no disease, nor can there be, and you will be well. Do you suppose that the prayers and ipsdixits of all the Christian Scientists in the world uttered in the ears of your lamented McKinley or Garfield would have reduced the facts to appear hallucinations in their minds to such degree as that their bodies would not have suffered dissolution? Was McKinley's body wounded at all? We might add, or was McKinley, the pistol wound and assassin, all mere imagination? Seance number 3, July 3, 1902, 93. Present C. V. N. House and wife, Joseph Simpson, Mrs. J. B. Lamb, Mrs. Rilla McClung, William Spear, Dr. Sehus, Mr. Moore, Mr. R. T. Van Horn, and of course, Mrs. Abba and the secretary. Minutes of previous seance read and approved by the circle. The spirit, Henry Lamb, stood forth and said to his mother, "Do you see me, mother?" "Yes, Henry, I see you. Then Dr. Lam appeared greeting his widow, Mrs. Lam, and said, "As I was a reformer, I wish you could be reformers." Then the spirit, Charles Spear, spoke his name to his father, William Spear. 94. Dr. Reed came forth and wrote of the skeptic, "Thus, the skeptical friend will ask, how do spirits know themselves from nothing? How does the skeptical friend know himself from nothing? Only through the law and conditions that nature has given him, the same as with us. We know, too, that the spirit world is as substantial as the material world. And again, we do know that the material body does not live on after the change called death takes place. Of course, our respected friend intends to be understood as rejecting the theory that there is a spiritual, as well as a material body, that we understand very well, and would not wrong him by putting any other construction on his query." 95. The questions arise: have we a spiritual organism, and is there a spiritual world added to it? To both we unhesitatingly answer, yes. And it has been demonstrated, and is being demonstrated here, that life is immortal. You are bound to accept the fact that death only shifts the scenes, and transfers the actor from a material to a spiritual stage of action, without taking from the moral or intellectual worth, and in the spiritual spheres, existence and action. He no longer sees through a glass darkly, but is brought face to face with himself, which gives a higher and broader and more comprehensive view and understanding of the economy of existence, which is evolution, and which law of progression is as unalterable and indestructible as the mind itself. A. We further state that the spiritual body is as much a substance as the mortal body. 96. Will our skeptical friend answer this? Can there be power without substance? Does not anything that exists necessitate substance? The idea that spirits exist as spiritual beings but are unsubstantial is preposterous and illogical. The gases which compose water, taken separately, are as much substance as when united. Then why should it be considered impossible for Mother Nature to so clothe us with spiritual substance that when we are separated, both should continue to exist as absolutely as when joined together? A. It does not require the brain of a Shakespeare or Webster to obtain a knowledge of the works of nature, to see that all things are related and adjusted to each other with marvelous precision. 97. If you will look at particular forms and functions, you will see that one demands the other. Take any particular organ of an animal or a man, and its form and nature are evidence of the existence of an element or world which is adapted to its nature. You have the testimony of your own senses that every organic form, in plant, animal and man is acted upon by some substance, and this substance and the organic form are so adjusted to one another with absolute precision, as to produce some beneficial effect. Without such adjustment there would be no design, or an entire failure in result. You are inevitably born to the conclusion that the same law must prevail in the spiritual plane of creation. Antoinette Francis Talleyrand, 398. When Reed had written and gone away, immediately there appeared a form having the appearance of a woman clothed in white, having a starry girdle about the waist, and a crown, in appearance as though set with sparkling jewels, upon the head, feet clothed with small, white slippers. After standing a moment, in the parting of the cabinet curtains, in plain sight of all the circle, she stepped to the writing desk, took a tablet, and in the ordinary manner of the execution of psychic writing done at these seances, wrote some 460 words, as follows, to wit, 99. Friends, do you know that spiritualism teaches that all men and women must save themselves by living pure lives and dispensing charity, light, and mercy? And still such a philosophy is condemned by the church and those who do not feel inclined to give up their evil ways, but appeal to a God who is purchasable, or at all events, who can be persuaded by go-betweens to reconsider a sentence to hell, and change that life to one of endless felicity in a place where the streets are of gold and the decorations are of precious stones. A. The spiritual philosophy teaches that whatever a man or woman soweth, that he or she shall also reap. This is not the kind of religion bad men and women want. They prefer a salvation that can be purchased at the last moment, a process of redemption that will transfer the murderer into glory in a minute, and a miserly, stingy and corrupt old sinner into a beautiful angel for a small sum of money given at the brink of the grave to some charitable institution. Spiritualism is rejected by such men. B. Spiritualism is stamped upon every created thing. It is formulated by the divine mind and its application made universal. C. It is so interwoven with creation that its purpose cannot well be mistaken. As a light at the feet of man, it shines continually and lights him in the way of moral and intellectual worth, which is nature's highway to everlasting felicity, in the spirit world. But nowhere does it teach that sin can be forgiven or that man can be redeemed by another. He must outgrow his sins and redeem himself or go on forever a total failure with no one but himself to blame, for he is the incarnation of boundless capabilities and infinite progress, which is nature's birthright to every human soul. D. A man may be a firm believer in the philosophy of spiritualism and yet be a very bad man, but no man can be a consistent spiritualist unless he be pure in mind and heart. Spiritualism points out how happiness on the mortal and spiritual side may be secured. But upon the road that it would have mankind to travel are found nothing that is uncharitable, nothing that is selfish, nothing that is impure, nothing that degrades the body or soul. It is walking with nature all the way. The fact is, spiritualism is too real, it is not mystical enough to be profitable, financially speaking, to the theologians, for it requires no learned dissertation on the fall of man, or on the doctrines of total depravity, predestination and election to uphold and sustain it. E. Spiritualism is of nature and everything in the material and spiritual world bears witness that this is true. Antoinette 100. Then the séance was changed into a form test séance, as it seemed that someone of the circle needed his mind more at ease as to reality of phenomena, and another spirit lady, announced as from higher spheres, stood in most gorgeous attire, bedecked as with shining jewels, and the feet appeared to be in small white slippers. A. Artist appears, desires material for making pictures, dictates, and Denton writes the dictation indicating the needed materials. B. Denton announces that after this effort they will attempt a periodical magazine, with spirits in editorial management. C. Then a Hindu man form, robed in white, stood a moment and vanished. D. This was followed by an ancient Turk. E. Another man form, but in dress with more colouring and powdered hair. F. Payne, stood forth and said, "This world is my country, to do good is my religion," and promising to visit us again, soon, with more to say, seemed to vanish away. G. One form goes down as another rises, as one form goes into cabinet another comes out, and they meet in cabinet door. Two of these were for Mr. Spear. One rises until very tall and goes down, apparently, through the floor. Seance number 4 July 6th, 1902-101. Present, C. V. N. House and wife, Joseph Simpson, drives a hearse, Mrs. McClung, Mrs. Abba and J. H. Nixon who, for the present, are members of the regular circle, and need not be mentioned in minutes hereafter, unless some permanent change be made. Minutes of previous meeting read and approved by the circle. Since reading and adopting minutes is of the regular order of business, it may be sufficient to note that regular exercises were had. Written messages are generally read at close of seance at which received, and copied into the record and read at next seance as part of the minutes. Any member of the circle is privileged, and it is his or her duty to satisfy himself at each seance, of all the conditions of any paraphernalia and material and instruments, and of everything used and pertaining to the seances and seance room, and be satisfied that there are no irregularities, so that, unless the minutes state otherwise, it will be presumed that the regular proceedings were had. It is regular for Dr. Reed to open the seance by some familiar greeting, and perhaps, the minutes need not state that, unless the doctor, at the same time say or write or do something out of the common. 102. At this seance, Professor Denton gave to us a small talk saying, substantially, as follows, speaking of inventions, friends, do you know that every invention comes to your world from the higher realms? The olden time sages understood this very well, and when they made their transition, they pursued the field of investigation best adapted to their conditions, and were able to send to Earth the results of their investigations. Many persons of your Earth are there recognized as inventors, but they are medium susceptible of receiving thought waves, and when messengers between the lower and higher spheres and conditions find a suitable sensitive for a given work, such work is portrayed to him, and thus, all of your so-called inventions reach the Earth plane and are outwrought for the benefit of man. And let me say, many more inventions are in store for you people of Earth, as fast as you become able to receive them. And before we are done with our work here, some of these may be indicated to you for the benefit of your world. We hope you will be prompt in fulfilling all of your obligations toward us, as we are anxious to give all that is possible. For we believe it is our duty to give all we can to your world so as to have as many people of Earth as possible prepared for the great transition and a happy entrance into the higher life. Experience of Timothy Corea, Manuscript 103. Years have passed so rapidly since I entered spirit life that I have been here over a century. My visits to Earth have been very few. I left only one friend behind me and knew nothing of any relatives. My first recollections are of a large log house in the country. I was a bound boy and my master's heart was not made better by the beauties around him. The only kind words I can remember were given me by a poor, lonely old woman, who made a living by weaving cloth. She was not in favor with her neighbors, because she had one brown eye and one blue. They argued that this was a certain sign that she was evil, and because she talked loud they thought she held conversations with the evil one himself. She was a superior weaver, an artist in her line. For this reason she had plenty of work. My master sent me to have her weave a web of cloth. I shall never forget the terrible sensation of fear that I experienced upon my first visit, but she treated me so kindly, and my heart was aching for sympathy, that I became her friend at once. She was well educated and gave me my first lessons. Our textbook was the Bible. How many times I have taken a severe beating for slipping away and spending hours in the fascinating task of learning to read and listening to her stories of the French Revolution. Hours I should have spent in sleep, I spent in learning to write. I passed to spirit life in the early part of winter. I was injured in the clearing by a tree we were felling. That, with the exposure in a severe storm soon after, was the immediate cause of my death. My old friend offered to nurse me, but my master would not consent. Alone and neglected, I passed from an unfriendly world into one of indescribable beauty. 104. My ideas of heaven were, of course, orthodox and Catholic, to a certain extent. I had not been confirmed, but my old friend's earnestness had imbued me with the feeling that her way must be the right one. I felt that I must be one of the friendless ones that Jesus came to save, therefore, I was much surprised to find grass and flowers instead of gold and precious stones in the streets of heaven. What a sense of relief after years of hearing a master's harsh voice calling me to be up and doing before 4 in the morning. I can't remember the first time I heard this call to me. How different to be awakened by faint yet clear music that seemed to be everywhere, but always in harmony. The songbirds that I so loved, were here, and I could listen to their music undisturbed. And far greater than all this, I found that there were books in heaven. Just think, not one book, but innumerable books, and they were as free to the bound boy, after this, as to the rich man's son. I was bound to man no longer. I was free to drink in all the wonderful knowledge those books held, as the deer to drink the waters of the mountain brook. 105. One day, while I was reading, I thought, how delighted my old friend would be if she could have access to these books. And while this and similar thoughts sped through my mind, I found heaven slipping from me, and I stood once more before her cabin door. It was night, and the pine knot, stuck on the side of the fireplace, was doing its best to light up the room. My dear old friend sat before her spinning wheel. "Monsieur Timothy, hast thou arisen from the dead?" I replied that I was not dead, but living in a beautiful country, and that I had returned to tell her about it, but my story fell on deaf ears. The dear old woman had fainted. She did not live long after this, and when she entered spirit life, she was as much surprised as I to see what a wonderful country we were in. B. I have continued my studies, seldom visiting the earth. But my friend, now, no longer old, keeps up her interest in the people of earth, and is no longer misunderstood. She is brave, while I am still bashful. C. I spend my time instructing newcomers to the spirit world. Through my instructions others have been of great assistance to those in lower spheres. Signed, Timothy Corey. Experience of Nathan Covert. 106. A typewritten message dictated to the spirit who became our regular operator of the typewriter, but so far, has not seen fit to reveal his name to the circle. The following is a copy of the writing. A. Do you know, friends, that you have a class of people upon your earth that will not accept a truth, even though it be demonstrated and proven to them? This class of people will encounter great difficulties when they enter spirit life. It is seldom that such, for a long time, reach the higher spheres, but most of them hover near the earth for years. B. During my stay here, I have been to earth many times to enlighten the human race. I meet many to whom I cannot impart knowledge, so I pass them by for the time being. I find a more intelligent class, easier to approach, and willing to listen to me, and accept what I say. This class will progress more rapidly, as they will profit by the experience of others. But all remain in the lower spheres until all their earth ties are broken, and there is nothing left to attract them to earth. Then their desires and aspirations will be to ascend to a higher sphere of spirituality. See, I feel that it is my duty to help those who try to help themselves. There are many on the spirit side of life who are so densely ignorant that they have no ambition to become better. They continue on in the same old rut they were in on earth. Such spirits are of no benefit to the people of earth, as they cannot bring useful knowledge to you. If you, friends, were able to see and know the condition of the spirits in the lower spheres, and could contrast their condition with that of spirits in the higher spheres, you would understand how important it is that people should be enlightened upon this subject while they are still upon the earth. D. Learn to live. Death is only an incident of life, and will take care of itself. 107. If the present generation would strive to surround the mother with kind and loving influences, and teach her the beauties of the higher spheres of spirit life, the children would grow up better men and women. Only through a thorough understanding of spiritual laws can the human family ever expect to reach a better state of spiritual and intellectual unfoldment. 108. Friends, it is absurd to think that men and women can enter the spirit world, divested of every principle of goodness, truth and charity, and be at once transformed into saints. A. The higher spirits have no low ambitions to gratify in teaching those in the earth life the way of everlasting happiness in the higher spheres. 109. The wisdom and experience of spirits are being brought to bear upon things material that are for the convenience, comfort and elevation of mankind, and a mortal who aspires to live a life of usefulness and steadfastness to truth, mercy and charity, has the hearty cooperation of a band of spirits whose moral character and intellectual culture are in harmony with his aspirations. 110. A cold belief in any theory of philosophy of immortality shuts out all the light of demonstration and cheer of the glow of the fire of enthusiasm, and hinders the soul from participating in the joy of the anticipation of a glorious existence in the world of spirit. 111. Now let no one say that spiritualism is of modern origin, but hold it up as the most ancient of all systems of religion, and the only one that has been able to prove and demonstrate that there is no death. Nowhere else can you find the evidence of a future life, and that the friends you once loved on earth can and do return to you. 112. We have heard it asked, many times, if there are spirits, and they come to you, why can't they come to me? I am as anxious for them to come to me as you are. But they don't come. I don't believe there is anything in it. 113. My friend, if you will open the door of your heart with love and kindness, and be honest with yourself, you are sure to receive proof palpable, but it may not be until the loss of one whom you love and cherish. Signed, Nathan Covert. 114. This message assures us that the promise of this band of spirits to give us communications by means of typewriting done by full-form visible materialization shall be amply fulfilled during this series of seances.